21st edition of the Roots Aviation Podcast. My name's Wesley Charnock and I'm the managing editor for Roots. And today we're going to bring you an exclusive talk from Wolfgang Reuss, SVP Network Management at AirBaltic.
Hi there, I'm David Casey and I'm the online editor for Roots. Speaking to delegates at Roots Europe in Hanover, Wolfgang discusses the Latvian carrier's network plans and how it intends to increase its fleet to 80 A220 aircraft by 2024.
AirBaltic is one of the fastest growing carriers in Europe and recently won the ATW Market Leader Award at the Air Transport World Airline Industry Achievement Awards in New York. If you do enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the Roots Aviation Podcast channel on iTunes, where we have a whole host of other interviews and exclusive sessions with airline leaders.
Also, feel free to rate the podcast. We'd love a 5-star review. Over to Wolfgang.
Thank you very much. So first of all, thanks for the invitation to give us the opportunity to introduce our airline a little bit to a wider audience. Coming to the network that we fly, I think that's I want to talk a little bit about that before, and then we go to one of our key projects, the fleet renewal and the transition into a single type fleet. So. If we look at the network that we fly this year, in 2019, we've basically the third year in a row, we are achieving quite a growth in network portfolio, but not only in the portfolio, but also in the depth of the network. So we are increasing a lot frequencies on existing routes, but the ones that usually make the headlines are not the ones that increase frequencies, but that are new in the network. So from our hub in Riga, where we run a four-wave system, which I will show you on the next slide. We basically open five new routes this year. So we just opened Riga-Stuttgart 4 times a week. Riga-Dublin, very important route for us, was one of the main ONDs out of Riga that we didn't serve. Then a regional route, Riga-Lviv in Ukraine, which starts very promisingly. And then two summer-only leisure routes, Riga-Menorca and Riga-Kos. So having said that Riga is our main hub, that doesn't mean that we are not growing outside of Riga as well. And our growth focus for the last year and also for this year is in Estonia, it's in Tallinn. In terms of relative growth, it's actually the fastest growing base that we have. So from Tallinn, we have opened last winter 3 new routes. And now in summer, we are opening as well 3 new routes. As of June, we base a third aircraft in Tallinn. We will fly to Malaga twice weekly, Copenhagen, and to Brussels. And then as of winter, we will operate Tallinn-Salzburg with a seasonal service for mainly ski traffic. So the third base that we have is Vilnius, which currently we try to optimize a little bit. So we are not growing currently that much in Vilnius. The growth is really concentrated around Riga and Tallinn, but Vilnius will also be in the pipeline in the coming years. So coming a little bit to our hub. Our hub structure in Riga is very straightforward. We have a four-wave system with very peaky waves in the morning and at the late evening, enabling not only for the Baltic region and from Riga, but also for the wider region, let's say Finland, Western Russia, Ukraine, day returns into Europe and back. So that's basically the concept. We have we put our friends at Riga Airport in front of quite some capacity challenges sometimes in the morning and in the late evening peaks. As you can see, in the middle of the day and in the afternoon, the peaks are much flatter. So we try to take the pressure off our system and the airport system there. We basically have no flight that doesn't operate in the bank system, so we put everything into the wave system 3 years ago, and we have zero tolerance for flights that go outside of the system. We are much more lenient in Tallinn and in Vilnius. There we basically go purely for aircraft optimization. utilization optimization. But we don't do it all alone, as it was said already in the small video that I showed you in the beginning. We work with a range of co-chair partners, so we are not part of an alliance. It's a conscious decision not to be, because for us the value of an alliance would not be as big as making bilateral agreements on a route-specific basis with a lot of carriers. But the most, let's say, the ones that carry the most traffic on our network are, of course, the big ones. So the big hub carriers like Air France, KLM, or Aeroflot. So that's clear. We fly to Amsterdam from all three Baltic capitals. We fly to Paris from all three Baltic capitals. So we have quite a comprehensive product from our relatively small hub into those big Western European hubs. And I think the benefits work both ways. But that's not the only one, of course. In every region that we fly to, we try to work with one or the local airline. One that I would also like to mention is Etihad, which we work with for our route from Riga to Abu Dhabi, which I will talk to about in a few minutes. Now, in 2019, we have quite some highlights. The year is still young, but we have a few things that we would like to share with you. So the 220 that I will talk about in a little bit more detail in a minute is basically the one that gets the most attention fleet-wise, the one item we phase in basically now one aircraft a month over the next few months into the system. The new routes I just talked about, I don't want to talk you through all of it, seeing the time constraint as well, but one that I would like to point out, we have started our own pilot training. I mean, everybody knows that there's a shortage of pilots on the market, so we took the decision to widen our existing simulators to establish a full-blown flight academy. We have now the second batch of students in, and I think the first ones will leave the academy already next year. So we'll go on the line next year. If we come to the fleet, very directly linked, of course, to the to our training requirements, we have quite a refleeting program on the way. And you see our current fleet is consisting of four different types. So we are a Boeing Classic operator still. Our regional network is operated as a with the backbone of the Q400. We have 12 units still, which will leave the fleet progressively. And then the new kid on the block since 2.5-3 years is the Airbus, the Airbus 220, formerly the C-Series. What we decided last year as a company, after a lot of evaluation, as you can imagine, it took us quite a long time to make that decision, is to go for a single-type fleet. I think, like for every airline that does this type of evaluation, there are a lot of pros and a lot of cons for each one of the options. But we went for the one that is actually the one that makes sense for us the most. So by 2023, end of 2023, we will have a single type, single configuration. It's also a very important fleet. It's the A220-300. One thing that we've done in addition, which was I think communicated a month ago roughly, was that we do an early phase out of the Boeings. So we had the Boeings flying until end of next year, but we decided to bring that decision forward into 2019. For obvious reasons, one of them is, of course, to lift already this year the synergies, or end of this year, that come out of this. So we have then for the regional network the next 3 years the Q400s, and then the 220s for everything else. This is the fleet build-up. These are our orders. So we've quite some replacements on the menu, but also quite some growth ahead, both of them. So by the end of the year, we will have 22 Airbuses in the fleet, growing to 50 by 2022. And then we have 30 options. So the 50 will be, they are firm orders, they will be delivered, we also need them. The 30 options, we are currently evaluating in which sequence we take them, to which extent we take them, but basically the business plan foresees 80 aircraft by 2025. The pace, there is still some flexibility in the last column, as you can see, but basically for the 50 firm orders, we have a very detailed plan already, where to put them, how to roll over, and the result will be quite a steep growth in the next 2-3 years already. So what is the impact on airports, seeing that we talk mostly to airports on this conference? It's quite simple. So with the aircraft, we have a completely different scope and scale of network development possibilities. The economics aside, simply the reach of the aircraft already gave us in the past years possibilities that we didn't have before with the Boeing 737 Classic. So, for example, route openings that we did in the past, like Riga-Lisbon, Riga-Madrid, or Riga-Malaga were not possible without this fleet. So we have a much further reach. We have much more possibilities to do business with airports and destinations that we could not reach before. Now, being on the northeastern edge of Europe, of course, everything in the southwest is pretty far, but also we go increasingly towards the east. So we also have destinations like Abu Dhabi, which came online 1.5 years ago, that we could have not made before. It's a 6-hour flight for everybody who is interested. So that is really pushing the aircraft to the limits, but it flies at full payload. So that is really something where we are very happy that we can offer such type of products without compromising on the fleet homogeneity. Another destination that came online, and here we go already to the range, is Almaty, which is also very much on the ring that you see around Riga. I apologize for the quality of the diagram, but I think it makes clear what our network reach currently is, and also for the coming years will be. Now, the opportunities that we have through that I've just talked about, we will also have quite a few challenges that come towards the end of the refleeting program, because, of course, Q400s leave the fleet. And that is also something that I would like to get across, because we are in talks with a lot of airports about new opportunities. And I think the most important statement is the last one in the last box here. And it's basically we look only at development opportunities that are suitable for an upgrade from a Q400 to a 145-seater by 2023. So a route that might look very good on a Q400 now and gives a good return in the next 3 years, that looks very nice. And then in 2023, we scratch our head and don't know what to do. So that is not something we would embark on. But we are quite optimistic about the possibilities that we have, because if you look at the current network, actually most of the routes are already crying out for an upgrade. Some not. But those we have to work on. But we have routes that we are currently upgrading that were for almost an eternity on the Q400. And I'm not telling you anything secret, because it's already in the systems and published. So we have, for example, Riga-Stockholm-Arlanda mostly on the 220. We have Riga-Copenhagen mostly on the 220, Riga-Oslo. So all regional routes that we currently fly that progressively go up to the bigger aircraft. But there will be, we have no doubts, there will be a certain small portfolio of routes that will be more challenging to upgrade, and then we have to see what we do with this. But the ultimate aim is to basically keep the entire network and develop all the routes so they are sustainable on the 220. What I would also like to share with you, it's not only about the route development for us and about bringing new aircraft in for the sake of it. We also want to make a positive impact, of course, on the environment. So especially, you will see in our region in Northern Europe a lot of coverage on the sustainability of air travel and how what an impact airlines and airports make, and we are no exception. And so this is what we want to contribute, apart from having a lower fuel bill, of course, which is great, but we really have a substantial reduction in emissions already now that we see. So we have on average 20% less fuel burn on a medium haul sector of 2 hours. You see here a few examples: Riga, Copenhagen, almost on 20%, Moscow, Munich, also slightly above. So it's around 20% that the aircraft brings fuel burn reduction versus a classic 737. So that's good for everybody. And if you ever heard a 220 take off, you hardly hear it unless you are really next to the runway. So that's also one of the reasons why we said it's not only a decision for us, but also to make, of course, our impact a little bit more sustainable. That's actually already it. What I wanted to share with you, a bit of an overview of our network, the company, and especially our pet project, the refleeting. We spent, at least in network and fleet planning, most of our time on this, so we are very, very fond of it, I have to say. So, if you have any questions, please shoot. Thank you. Yeah, please.
Congratulations, Wolfgang, for the job you are doing with this refleeting. Yeah? Mm-hmm. In which countries does the airline have more interest in growing in new destinations?
Which countries?
Besides Spain.
I know which part of Spain you're referring to. everywhere. Yeah, well, you can see that actually it's everywhere in the range that we have. So Dublin and Stuttgart are classical medium haul routes. Lviv is very much a regional short haul route. So you cannot put it down to one country. It's more, the focus is basically on local market relevance for Riga, for Tallinn, and for Vilnius. So we would never open a route that currently nobody wants to fly. So we want to be the carrier of choice in all three cities and countries for frequent flyers. That's why we also open out of Tallinn very busy routes. I mean, Tallinn-Stockholm, Tallinn-London, Tallinn-Oslo are already now very demanded routes, and we have to be there. If we want to be relevant to the customers, then you simply have to fly these routes. And that's basically, I hope, the answer to the question. It's not so much about, oh, we focus now on Spain or we focus on Finland. It's rather we focus on flying where we add really value to the travelers. Yeah. Spain is among them, of course. Look at Malaga. Yeah, two new routes. I know that's not what you want to hear, but... Yeah. Anything else? Yeah?
I was wondering, you mentioned that you want to use the A320-300 all of your fleet, right?
Yeah.
But why not to use the A320-100 in the smaller routes with less demand that will provide you more flexibility? Yeah.
We asked ourselves the same question quite a lot and tossed it, turned it for many months. Should we continue to have a sub-fleet that for with a smaller size? And that was obviously the one that we looked at, but we said the advantages of having a completely single type, single configuration fleet outweigh the advantages that would be there on some routes to fly smaller aircraft. The economics on some routes would be better, but if you look at the whole picture of the airline and the whole fleet composition, it's much better for us to go to a single type fleet. That's not valid for everybody, of course, but for where we operate, it's better. It gives the better returns. But on some parts of the network, I agree. Some other type might be better, but it's very small. And that's also the thing. In our calculations and extrapolations, we were looking at how do we predict our markets to develop. And actually, they go all into a direction where you need actually a 145-seater. And more than 90%. And that is enough for making that decision. Yeah. Yeah, please.
Yeah, two questions related to each other. Mm-hmm. One is, how is the incoming traffic developing in Tallinn and Riga? Mm-hmm. And secondly, how much of your traffic is international to international?
To answer the second question first, it's 99% is international to international, because we have domestic only one route, and that's Riga to Liepāja. And that is a pure feeder route from the western region, from Kurzeme to Riga. In terms of incoming traffic, we have quite a healthy ratio, but in Riga it's higher. So in Riga I cannot disclose it now, unfortunately. I would like to, but I can't. It's a very healthy mix. In Riga we have more inbound traffic, simply because we have a much larger network, and Riga as a destination is we are actually so far linked to Riga as a destination more than to the other two cities, but we are working on changing that, and I think successfully in Tallinn we do that already. In Tallinn it is more outgoing, much more outgoing than incoming. In Riga it's a little bit more balanced. I hope I could at least indicatively answer the question. Yeah.
It's okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? No? Then thank you very much for taking the time. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Wolfgang Reuss outline AirBaltic's network plans. Thanks very much for listening, and don't forget to rate and subscribe on the iTunes channel.
Our next podcast will be in 2 weeks' time, when we'll have Luis Felipe de Oliveira, the Executive Director and CEO of Alta, who'll be outlining the state of the airline industry in Latin America. Thanks for listening.